Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it's the 3rd of November, and I'm recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, well, a little bit calmer day than what we were seeing last week, which is sort of a relief, if a wee bit less interesting, but we can only stand so much excitement, or at least that's true for me. Okay, what happened in here today? First take stock markets. Japan, the main indices were, well, actually the whole market, the cash market, was closed for a holiday here today. But the futures markets were trading. Now, you remember Japan had that monster rise of 4.83% for the Nikkei on Friday when they came out with this big additional program, vastly increasing the amount of money that was going to go into stock markets and extending QE and so on. Well, the futures market, when I last looked, which was trading, is up another 400 points in here today. Now, again, it was up 755 points on Friday, but that was massive, a little under 5%. So 4%, big gain in here. That's taking it up to about 16,800. And so I hope you've got a bit of Japan in your portfolio, and it's coming good once again. Those are new recovery highs for the Nikkei 225. Now, what else? China, the Hong Kong market was down a third of a percentage point, but the Shanghai Composite was up over a third of a percentage point, and it's taken that Shanghai Composite A-share index up to 2,430. Taiwan, also a gain of about a third of a point. Then we mostly had losses, or thereafter we mostly had losses. South Korea, Australia, down a half a point and a third of a point, percentage point, that is. India, virtually unchanged in here today, which is interesting because it's had a very strong week last week. Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, New Zealand, all down small fractions. In the European stock markets, weaker tone there, and leading to the downside was the FTSE MIB, that's the Italian stock market, down 2.1%. Spain was down nearly a percent. Switzerland was down nearly a percent. Switzerland's been by far the best performer, not in the EU, of course. But Switzerland had actually pushed up and into a new recovery high for the year on Friday. But again, as I say, down nearly 1% here today. And the Eurostox 50 is down 1%. The UK here today down almost 9/10 of a percentage point here as well. Now, Wall Street was mostly to the minus here today, but picked up a little bit towards the close. The NASDAQ ended up with a modest gain. The S&P was virtually unchanged, and the Dow was only down 24 points. So that's a steady performance, giving the romp that it had to the upside last week. Canada down half a percentage point. Mexico firmer by a third. And we have Brazil down 1.25 percentage points. In the long-dated government bonds, the U.S. 10-year, it's been edging higher on virtually continuous days in here, up to 2.344% here today. Now, the U.S. dollar which is very important. The US dollar was extremely strong in here today. And let's see, we've got DXY up to 87.339. That's a new recovery high. That's against the European currencies. And as I say, mighty impressive here overall. What we see is the euro has slipped the most, and that's come down to 1.2482, slipped the most in the last few days. The Australian dollar has also been softer, down to 0.8683. And sterling back below 160, so it's down a little bit to 1.5973. What was interesting, though, it's virtually unchanged against the Indian rupee. And it's virtually unchanged. Well, it was a little firmer here today, but was weaker last week, slightly weaker last week against the Chinese renminbi. So again, those are a couple of the markets that we like a lot, as you know, in India and also China, and they have firm currencies here. Fortunately. Now, the Asian dollar index, generally though, that is slipping a little bit, moving down towards the lower side of a fairly broad trading range of the last several years. And looking at some of these currencies in here today, I beg your pardon, I've just done those currencies, looking at some of these commodities. The eyebrow raiser here is crude oil, which is really quite weak. The Brent is down to 84.04. That's down $1.81 here today. And the WTI is down to 78.15. And that's down $2.39. The news on this was that Saudi Arabia was lowering the price for exports to the USA. So we still have a very, very soft crude oil market. Now that's worrying some people in terms of global growth slowdown. I have a little bit more sanguine view of it all. I just think there's one heck of a lot of production going on. That's very clear overall. And as the ISIS scare regarding oil production, as people saw that inevitably that ISIS was going to produce as much oil as it possibly could, rather than try to close everybody's oil down. That has caused some long positions, speculative long positions in the market to come out or go short, and that's the case that's the situation we have right now with a fair amount of speculative shorts in the market. But the key point though is a lot of supply here overall. Now that low oil price is good for economies that are not major oil exporters, but it's hitting some that are oil exporters. For instance, let's take Russia. That stock market was weak in here today. Now you might remember it had a big upward dynamic on Thursday, and that was because the central bank was about to pump in a lot of money to help to support the ruble. So the ruble had a big downside key day reversal, or I should say, I should put it this way, I'm talking about it in dollar terms. But the ruble, if I describe it in ruble terms, the ruble had been just falling relentlessly and then had a big, huge upside key day reversal on Thursday. But it's given virtually the whole thing up. I mean, it had fallen to 44 rubles to the US dollar, and then dropped down to almost 40, but it's back up. It's at 43, 49. So, it's at the rubles near its not far from its lows, in here, all-time lows, in here today. Okay, anything else? Yeah, I had an email on gold that had been sent to me, somebody saying, well, could I mention gold in the weekend big picture audio? I know Owen did do that, but I'll just have a quick word here, if you don't mind, overall. Now, I don't get more bearish as I was obviously away on late Friday afternoon and Friday evening, so it was, did not do that audio. But gold, the important point to remember is that, well, I'll go back and sorry, I'll go back and say I don't become more bearish the lower something goes. I become increasingly less bearish and then start to get bullish. And gold has been quite weak along with the other precious metals, not least of all silver. But I still don't see any evidence yet that we have a firm floor. We just broke the last trading range floor that that we saw. And we need to get some upward dynamics to indicate a downside failure to indicate that that was a bear trap. But remember, gold is not a standalone commodity the way in the agricultural commodities sugar or coffee are. I mean, sugar or coffee. The point I'm making is that those prices are not going to be influenced by anything else, except primarily their own demand supply equation, and supply will be the key variable always for those agricultural commodities. Gold, instead, is very much of an investment commodity, far more of an investment commodity than any of the other commodities. So it's inevitably going to be compared to bonds and stock markets. And as you will have long noted in here in recent years, that bonds, while I think that bonds are a bit of a bubble, they are still providing real return gains in here. I don't think that can go on for very much longer, but you've got a lot of major long-term bond bulls who have hung in there and have been proved right. And they haven't seen enough in the fluctuations to the upside to shake them out of those positions. So you've got many billions there, and those people are going to say, why should I have gold? It's going in the wrong direction. I would not be getting a real return there, not least as it has no yield. And I'll stick with bonds. And then in the equity side, people who have been running this bull market are saying, well, it's still in form. And yes, people keep referring to equities as risk assets, which irritates me. They're volatile. Are they all that risky? Well, I don't think so myself. But so stock markets are, most of the stock markets, certainly the ones that we like the most, are still in overall upward trends. And they also, or it's quite possible to find very decent yields in those stock markets. And what does gold yield? Well, it doesn't yield anything. So you say, well, what's the justification for holding gold? And then people would say, well, how about as an inflation hedge? But people are worried far more today about deflation than they are about inflation. And then the rest of the interest of gold, of course, is the jewelry market is remains quite substantial. But that investment interest is the big swing vehicle, and it's going through a bit of a perfect storm in terms of the all the headwinds are against it. So that leaves it still vulnerable in my position. But of course, things always look the worst, the closer you get to the bottom. And I'll go right back to what I was saying at the beginning of this talk on gold, that the lower it goes, the more interesting it becomes, not just to me, but to a lot of other people who are going to be long-term bulls and potential buyers of gold bullion. But we're not quite there at the moment. And therefore, I think that if you are buying, do so very conservatively, nibble on weakness, and don't get leveraged with any kind of significant positions in here overall. The other alternative is, of course, is just to wait until gold clearly bottoms out and establishes an overall upward trend, and that will be at some point in the future. All right, and on that note, all the very best to all of you.